Very happy to have on the line with us right now our good friend from Yahoo Sports, Jason Cole. Jason, how you doing, my friend?
I'm fantastic. What's going on, Vic?
Well, let's start this off as we like to do with national perspective here on the Browns. How much better do you think this team is now that it's gone through the draft and picked up Trent Richardson and Brandon Whedon?
Well, I like Trent Richardson a lot, even though it's not really a running back era. You know, you got a good player there, and you got a guy who you can, you know, gives you a weapon on offense, who will help the quarterback out. Now, is he going to be, you know, Eric Dickerson or, you know, Adrian Peterson or somebody who's, you know, justifies a top end draft pick at running back? You know, I don't know about that because, again, this is a throwing era, and you really got to generate so much more out of your offense at wide receiver. I'm still concerned about Cleveland wide receiver, but look, you got a really good football player in Trent Richardson. I like him a lot. As for Brandon Whedon, I have concerns about Whedon because I think whatever he is now as an athlete and as a quarterback, he's not going to get much better than that because he is, you know, 28 going on 29. You got to get him out on the field right away to make him pay off as a first-round draft pick. So there's a fair amount of pressure, even though he's not a high first-round draft pick at quarterback. There's just an awful lot of expectation because he's got to get on the field to justify that pick pretty much right away.
Now, when we look around the rest of the NFL, there's a piece you have on YahooSports.com about Drew Brees and his contract talks with the Saints. And you make an interesting point, Jason, about the collective bargaining agreement that was put in place almost a year ago, that it may not work in favor of the Saints in these negotiations.
Right. There's a question about whether Drew Brees' contract in the second, like, say you can't get a deal done now, and he has to play on the franchise tag. There's an assumption on New Orleans' part that his contract, which is about $16.3 million right now, would only go up 120% next year, which is it would go to roughly $20 million. So they're looking at saying, look, we at the worst case scenario, we have Drew Brees under control for the next 2 years at roughly $36 million, maybe $37 million. That's a pretty reasonable price. You know, it sounds like a lot to you and me, which it is. But it's a pretty reasonable price for a quarterback of that talent.
Relatively speaking.
Yeah, relatively speaking. On the flip side of it, the NFL Players Association believes, now it hasn't filed any kind of grievance in this matter, but it believes that because Drew Brees was franchised once before in his career, this is the second year that he's been franchised technically. Once happened earlier when he was in San Diego in 2005. This is the second time. They believe that if they got franchised again next year, that would be the third time. And that's not a 120% increase. It's a 144% increase. And therefore, his contract would go nearly $24 million. And that's all of a sudden $40 million over the next 2 years. And now all of a sudden the equation changes a lot, especially when you have that huge jump in the second year of that, when you're talking about 2013. And don't think that these contracts aren't well thought out in terms of where's the cap space over the next 3 to 5 years. That's a careful consideration for the Saints, and it's very important in terms of the leverage for Drew Brees. So depending on how this situation is read, I think it has potential to have great impact to force something to get done, you know, sometime in July, because the Saints will probably want to remove some doubt, as will Drew Brees.
Visiting with Jason Cole from YahooSports.com. Check out his great work there. Jason, a little news today on the front of television and football. Hard Knocks, the series that I've always thought was one of the very best football programs going, has a team, finally. The Miami Dolphins will be this year's featured team in the series. And I wondered, I know that's a team you know well because you formerly covered the Dolphins. knowing them as a club right now that is in transition, that is trying to get back to relevancy, has a new coach in Joe Philbin, and has an owner in Stephen Ross who wants to bring as much attention, I guess, to it as possible off the field, is how do you see this move? Because a lot of teams apparently were not in favor of doing this, and NFL Films, which is producing the show, struggled to find a team. The league did struggle to find a team that would participate.
Yeah, I think that the format is getting a little bit old for teams. Really don't want the cameras to be as intrusive as they are. I think that ultimately most teams feel that this is more harm than good. I'm really wondering, look, I understand the Dolphins are in a lot of trouble here in terms of public perception, especially down in Miami. Their season ticket sales are still in the low 30,000. It's probably going to set a record for the worst season ticket sales that they've ever had, probably since the 60s when the team, you know, was first started. There's a real hope that Ryan Tannehill, their first-round draft pick, has to make it, has to be the guy. I wouldn't want to do Hard Knocks if I had a first-year head coach who was trying to straighten out the locker room, trying to get control of the team, trying to make very difficult decisions on who to cut and who not to cut. So to me, this is a very forced fit. I think it's probably very much forced by ownership, wanting to get the attention that you just talked about, even though they deny that. So I'm a little uncomfortable with this one. But it's probably the only way to save the series at this point in time because, again, there weren't a whole lot of teams interested. I will say one thing, however, on a good note. Ryan Tannehill's wife will probably be quite photogenic in Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
And will be well represented if the cameramen have anything to say about it.
Could be a chance for A Star Is Born there, for sure.
She'd be the one star on that team.
In that regard. Hey, Jason, how about this? The Detroit Lions talk about a coach who's not a happy guy, Jim Schwartz, speaking about the latest in a series of problems with some of his players, especially the group that was drafted last year. Four of the five of them having some issues off the field. Nick Fairley for the second time being arrested. And Schwartz talking about, you know, this is something that obviously upsets him and should. But the idea that he also says that these actions of a few kind of tainting the entire team, kind of painting the you know, taking that broad brush and saying it's like a team of bad guys, and he certainly doesn't want anything to do with that, especially with a Lions team that offers so much promise, I think, and hope for improvement.
Yeah, I hear that from Jim, and I really, really like Jim Schwartz, and he's a really smart guy. But Jim has to know that he's brought some of this on himself, okay? And that is, you know, there are certain guys on that team that they've drafted, whether it be Nick Fairley, who was, you know, perceived as a high-risk guy, who didn't always put a high priority on football coming out of Auburn, and, you know, and Ndamukong Suh, who, you know, obviously has his issues. I mean, you know, Jim Schwartz has bought some of this himself, and he's going to have to find a way to fix it. And he's going to have to find a way to fix it after sending pretty much a message of cross purpose. And, you know, taking these guys. Now, Fairley was a good draft pick regardless. I mean, nobody will talk me out of that because I think he was number 14 or 15 in the draft that year. That was a very, very good value for that kind of that good a football player. But you got to control these guys. There's no question about it. You got to make sure that they put a very high priority of being good football players. And it's, again, it's always, it's one thing to have a good time. It's another thing to be stupid. And right now, Nick Fairley is on the stupid side of it. And he's got probably too many of those guys. And they're sort of making a quorum among themselves.
A couple of situations in the AFC North that I know will interest Browns fans just to hear your takes. Jason, Ray Rice still not signed with the Ravens. John Harbaugh does not sound all that concerned about it. What are you hearing about that?
Well, I mean, John Harbaugh is subscribing to the old Brian Billick theory that the offseason's about money, and he's right about that. They're not real close on getting a deal done. I don't think, you know, with Matt Forte still sitting out there, I know he believes he's worth more than Matt Forte. You just got the deal done with LeSean McCoy, which A lot of agents are saying it's not a particularly good deal, even though it's got $20 million in guaranteed money, because it's really a six-year deal. Look, Ray Rice is one of the most versatile running backs, you know, great pass catcher, you know, very good runner from, you know, from scrimmage. And I think that he does believe that he's worth every penny and probably a little bit more than LeSean McCoy, probably worth more than Matt Forte. But because of the way the contracts are coming in right now, this is probably going to be a difficult situation. I would say that this one's going to come right down to that, you know, July 15th, July 16th deadline to get a long-term deal done. The other thing is, look, with the running back position, you don't want to overpay by too much. So it's really in the Ravens' interest to let him play it out on a franchise tag as long as they can.
The other AFC North item of interest, James Ferrier saying he's thinking about retirement. The old saying, Marv Levy used to say this, when you're thinking about retirement as a player, or maybe
you're already retired.
You're already retired.
Yep. James Ferrier is already retired, pretty much.
Yeah.
Great career. Fantastic career. Probably a buck short of Hall of Fame, or a buck or two short of Hall of Fame, but a great career. The Steelers knew this was coming, you know, and they've been sort of holding it off here for a couple of years. They probably can't replace him this year, but I would think that they will, you know, able to find an inside linebacker probably by next year's draft. I would think that Steelers are probably trying to coax him into playing one more year to try and get through that, but make sure that they have somebody set for the transition next year.
Great stuff, Jason. As always, we appreciate you taking the time, my friend.
No problem, anytime.
All right, he is Jason Cole from yahoosports.com. Check out his great work there. Joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.